It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kaysen.
Yes, here we are, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am Alan Gervie with music in the background, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC, to be the managing partner of your life. We are turning negatives into positives. We are turning Murphy's Law upside down. That is Gervie's Law. Anything that can go wrong, guess what? Can also go right. Do you believe in that, Kerry?
Absolutely. That's how I live my life. You know, and Gervie's Law, a lot of times, or not Gervie's Law, Murphy's Law, they say it doesn't necessarily mean things are going to go wrong. It's just things are going to go the way they're headed towards.
You know, I recognize your voice. You're Kerry Kaysen.
Wow, did you just figure that out now?
I did. I didn't know who was sitting across from me, but I heard the voice.
Yeah.
It's very familiar to me. In fact, we enjoyed a very nice night this week at the L.A. Kings game.
That was amazing. The box was incredible.
Yeah, we were in the KBC suite. Thank you, all of KBC, and of course, Debbie Payne.
Absolutely. That was really fun. That was really nice.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. The game really sucked.
I know.
Bad game.
But my friend Bella, who you met, she listens to the show every single weekend.
She's like my number one fan.
You guys talked about stuff that sounded like another language to me.
Yeah, we were talking hockey. She knows her hockey, that's for sure.
Oh, she does, yes.
And she's actually a lawyer, too.
Yeah, she is. She's a lawyer and a fanatic. I mean, she knows everything about the Kings.
Well, I know a little bit more about hockey than she does, I hate to tell you, but...
She's listening right now.
I stumped her. But her family's from Canada, from Richmond Hill in Ontario, which is right outside of Toronto. So she comes by it naturally. Tonight, of course, we have a great, great tribute game with Rob Blake's jersey being retired, which should be exciting. I'm not a big fan of Rob Blake. I mean, he had some crunching hits and some canonizing slap shots. But I was at the Timu Solani tribute last week in Anaheim, and Timu is one of my idols, the greatest guy who ever walked the face of the earth.
You know, I think that was Timu Solani. Don't make fun of me, but he played for the Kings, correct? Did he not for a little while?
You are absolutely incorrect.
Okay.
So
there was, then I was at a place, and it was, I swear to God, it was after a Kings party. And it was a bunch of players, so maybe he didn't, but I thought he was a Kings player. But he happened to be at a party I was there, and Bella knew every single thing about him.
Right.
Everything about him. So I thought, oh, okay, it's a Kings party. I thought he was a King.
No. But he is a King in Finland. Because he is the Finnish Flash, of course, and probably the best player who ever came out of Finland, with all apologies to Jari Kurri, who was there speaking for Timu. But, you know, as Timu's a great guy. He's done so many things for hockey as an ambassador. He's got his hands in everything. And it reminds me of the guest that we have on today. Because this is the female version of Timu Solani, although, of course, her interests are different. And, you know, it's such a pleasure to have Lisa Bloom on the show today, because not only is she an incredible, incredible attorney, but and to that end, I must say that the rap.com, and I'm not sure if that's a restaurant or not, but they named her one of the top five celebrity attorneys in America.
Not
in Woodland Hills. This is in America. And she's been a legal analyst for the Today Show. And she appears on CNN, HLN. And Dr. Drew, she's been an analyst for Dr. Drew, who will be right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Let's not forget, she's an author, Think and Swagger.
I love Think. You know, I got to tell you, every woman should read Think. And we're going to talk about that with Lisa. We're also going to talk, of course, about Suspicion Nation, because it's just come out in paperback, and there's some really interesting issues that need to be discussed. But not only does she outperform everyone I know, she's got more hours in 24 hours than I've ever seen, but she's also the daughter of Gloria Allred, a guest that we had on the show, what, about 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, and, you know, I was, I think I was shocked. I was not, I don't want to say shocked that we got her because I was so happy, but when she was in here, it was almost like I was starstruck.
I wasn't.
Well, I know you weren't.
I'm starstruck by no one.
I was. I've been watching Gloria since I was very young.
Okay. We have to welcome Lisa because we're talking behind her back. Lisa, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much for having me. What a very kind introduction, Alan and Carrie.
Oh, well, of course. But I have to tell you one thing right out of the gate here, Lisa. So when we had your mom on, and I went right at her and I said, what's this business about always being on TV, on the radio, in the newspaper? You know, in the Adrian Peterson case, the lawyers were called media whores. And I said to your mom, why do you do it? And what she said has changed my life. She looked me right in the eye and she said, I will never, ever apologize for being in the media because I speak for those who cannot speak for themselves.
That's right.
When you were working with her at her law firm for, what, about 10 years, is that something that you learned or is it just in your blood?
Well, listen, I would say both. I have my own law firm now called the Bloom Firm in Woodland Hills, and we represent generally the underdogs against very powerful people and very powerful companies. And, you know, they have unlimited resources. They can hire all the best investigators and publicists and spin doctors. And what do we have other than the brains of my attorneys and the people in my law firm
right.
and the courage of my clients? What do we have to level the playing field? We have the media. We can tell a story and we can shame people. And, for example, I represent Janice Dickinson against Bill Cosby.
And, you know, Lisa, we want to talk about that after because that's a whole subject in and of itself. And I want to talk about some of the issues you're behind, you're representing these people because there's so much to talk about. But the one thing I want to start with, because this is very topical, yesterday us lawyers took real interest in a decision that came from the Supreme Court that said that the Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether the states can bar and ban gay marriage.
Yes.
And I know you have a special interest in this, and it's very important because what the Supreme Court is going to do is it's going to hear 2.5 hours of argument in April, and it usually only hears 1 hour, and then will render a decision at the end of June. And a lot of people feel they know the way it's going to go. What do you feel?
Well, we are way overdue to have gay marriage nationwide. You know, lesbians and gays are the only group that have to fight state by state for equal rights. You know, that's un-American. Our federal constitution guarantees equal protection to everyone, and they should not have to fight state by state anymore. Either everyone is equal or everyone is not equal. And it's time to have gay marriage nationwide.
So let's talk a little bit about the 14th Amendment, because the 14th Amendment grew out of slavery when we were looking at, like you say, equal protection and, of course, due process, because equal protection and due process go hand in hand. And there are two questions that the Supreme Court is going to decide, one of them being whether the 14th Amendment requires a state to license a marriage between two people, and the other one being whether the 14th Amendment requires a state to recognize a gay marriage which was performed in another state. How in the heck can that second question ever be thought of in the negative? Because if someone gets married and moves, we know we have a freedom to move from state to state. Why can one state not recognize it where another state can?
Well, absolutely. And again, why would we carve out an exception to the general rule that states recognize marriages from other states for gay people? Why are they the only group that gets carved out and treated differently? That's the problem. That's why it's un-American. Everyone is either equal or they're not equal. To those who say, well, you know, gay people can have domestic partnerships, they can have civil unions. That's the same thing I ask you. Can we have domestic partnerships and civil unions for straight people then? And the gay and lesbian folks can have marriage if it's exactly the same thing?
Lisa, let me ask you something. You said it was un-American. There are potentially four justices on the Supreme Court who may vote against it. Scalia, Clarence Thomas, Alito for sure, and maybe Roberts. Are you saying that those justices are un-American?
I'm saying that anybody who votes against equality, anybody who really does not genuinely believe in equality for all Americans, I think that is un-American. I think they're on the wrong side of history if they do vote against it, just like all the justices who voted against equal rights for African Americans in the 50s and the 60s, they're on the wrong side of history.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. We got to take a quick break. We're talking to Lisa Bloom of the Bloom Firm. We're going to talk about Suspicion Nation, her book that is a fascinating account of the Trayvon Martin case right after this. You're listening to Garvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Something new and quite unusual.
You? Oh, have you not heard?
Heard what?
Hey, this is Dr. Drew.
And Psycho Mike.
And we're coming to KABC starting January 20th.
It's Midday Live with Dr. Drew and me, Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Weekdays, noon to 3, starting January 20th on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
It's Peter Tilton. You know, I've been talking about that very special Oceania cruise in August. On the intimate, luxurious ship, the Insignia, we're going to London and Bordeaux, France, the beaches of Biarritz, the ancient Roman ruins of Spain. We're going to Portugal and Barcelona. Well, it's gotten so much bigger and better. I got to explain to you, there's art classes on the ship. There's a Canyon Ranch spa. There's also a cooking school, and there's no fees ever. Plus, right now we're taking a private excursion to the birthplace of Spain, the sacred caves and basilica of Santuario de Covadonga, and the Cathedral de Oviedo. And I got to tell you, everything for this special trip, everything is all included from just $45.99. That's airfare and tips, and they're even throwing $100 shipboard credit. We are going to have a blast together. It's a one-of-a-kind cruise. Space is going because it's limited. Call 888-445-9346, and I'll see you there. 888-445-9346. Call now. Ask them all about the details of the cruise. You're going to love it, and then I'll see you in August. 888-445-9346.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
That is some bizarre intro music. Man. Okay, here we go. We're still talking with Lisa Bloom. For those of you who don't know, Lisa Bloom is the legal analyst for Avvo.com, amongst all of the million other things that she has to her credit. Lisa, I got to ask you something right out here. Avvo.com, how do I get myself a 10.0? Because when I Google my name, I'm like 7.1. And it says, you know what my weakness is? It says that I'm not known in the community. But, you know, I just won the Applicant Attorney of the Year, which is the Workers' Comp top prize for people representing injured workers, wanted in the state of California. I have a radio show. I'm the chairperson and of the Education for California Applicants Attorneys Association, which we have our convention next week. I'm also board of directors. And they say, Avvo says that my notoriety is one and brings me down. What do I do? What if I just know you?
hire a publicist, Alan.
So let me answer the question. So first of all, for people who don't know Avvo, AVVO.com, it's the biggest legal site online. And if you need on-demand legal help, you can get it there. You can get a very inexpensive consultation with a lawyer for about 15 minutes for $39. You can even get free legal advice there. And we all have profiles on there, and that's what you're referring to. As all of us attorneys, we put up a profile, and we talk about our cases and our clients, and then we get reviews. And so I have a 10.0, which I'm very proud of.
Congrats.
You can easily get up to a 10.0. You just have to get other attorneys to put positive reviews of your work. I'm happy to give you one.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. But doesn't yours count for a lot more than just any attorney?
I think I just count like anybody else. And I'm sure you're well-deserving of a 10.0.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I want to turn our attention now to something that's really important, and that is your book, Suspicion Nation. And that's based on the Trayvon Martin case. I want to tell you something, Lisa. Last week we had Manny Medrano on. I'm sure you know him. He's from your rival law school, Harvard Law School. Of course, Lisa's from Yale Law School. So Manny said when Kerry asked him a pointed question about the O.J. Simpson trial, which he won an Emmy for, Manny said... I have no comment regarding O.J.'s guilt. Now, what I read about you and George Zimmerman case, the Trayvon Martin murder, here's a quote. I saw a grave injustice unfolding right before our eyes. So the question I have for you is, and you were, of course, a journalist. Let's make it clear here. You didn't represent anyone in that case, but you were a journalist from the start to the finish. You followed the trial, and you gave your opinion. Obviously, you feel that it was a grave injustice. Manny Medrano said no. Where do we separate journalism from advocacy?
Well, you're right. So I'm a legal analyst for NBC News and for the Today Show, and they asked me to cover that case extensively, and I did, and I watched it gavel to gavel. I reviewed all of the evidence, and I saw a case that went off the rails. I saw prosecutors who weren't prosecuting, witnesses who were not prepared, a closing argument that was clearly a defense closing argument instead of a prosecution closing argument because they asked a series of questions, and they failed to connect the facts to the law. They failed to really advocate for conviction. And when that case was over, I was very disturbed, and I had to know more. So I did my own investigation. I went out to Florida. I met with jurors and witnesses, and the results were even worse than I had seen. And that's the subject of my book, Suspicion Nation, the inside story of the Trayvon Martin injustice and why we continue to repeat it. There's no question in my mind that the prosecutors missed critical evidence. They didn't put on expert witnesses who were begging them to testify. They missed the key issue of race in the courtroom. They were too afraid to touch it, and they let really disturbing comments about race go by unobjected to that the defense offered. I mean, this was a very disturbing case start to finish. And now, of course, in the last year since my book's come out, we've seen a repeat of prosecutors who just don't want to prosecute when it's unarmed African Americans who get shot in Ferguson, in New York, and across the country.
You know, Kerry has a question, and I want Kerry to ask his question. You're going to get it in. You will. But I want you to remember that last thought. What I tell my clients in their depositions, if they have a thought, don't forget it. Write it down. So, Lisa, write it down. I want to talk about the differentiation of evidence in the other two cases that you talked about, which is the chokehold case in Staten Island and, of course, Ferguson. But before we do that, Kerry, it's all yours.
Well, I want to know, Lisa, what the important information, some of the facts that we didn't hear about in the Trayvon Martin case, what were some of them that we didn't hear that may have changed our minds?
Well, probably the most important one is that George Zimmerman demonstrated on a videotape the day after he killed Trayvon Martin where his gun was holstered. It was holstered behind him, inside his pants, behind him, over his buttocks. Now, why is that important? Because his story is, I was down on my back. Trayvon Martin was straddling me, knees to armpits. Trayvon saw the gun, reached for the gun, and at that moment I had to shoot and kill in self-defense. Well, unless Trayvon Martin had X-ray vision, there is no way he could see through the bulk of George Zimmerman's body to a gun holstered behind him as George Zimmerman was lying on his back. The prosecution failed to argue that in the case. I talked about it a lot on television the final week of the case when I noticed it. And ultimately, in closing argument, for the first time, the prosecution mentioned it only very, very briefly, and then they quickly moved on. They didn't show the jury the videotape. They didn't put it together with the mannequin in the courtroom and show how it was impossible. That, to me, is probably the biggest piece of evidence that the prosecution simply bungled the case.
So you think that, and so George Zimmerman, when he said that Trayvon Martin attacked him, do you think that didn't happen at all?
I don't think it happened. I think that George Zimmerman approached Trayvon Martin with his gun drawn because, and this is all in the book in great detail, based on all of the evidence at the trial, not just my speculation. George Zimmerman was very much afraid of Trayvon Martin. I don't think he would have approached him without the gun drawn. I think Trayvon Martin punched once in self-defense. Zimmerman went down. He came up, and he then shot Trayvon Martin. He shot him because he was angry. He shot him because he'd just been punched in the face, and he was agitated, and I do not believe his self-defense story.
Okay, but then you have to deal with this stand your ground statute, which says that you can use any level of force, even lethal, if you reasonably feel that there you face imminent threat or a harm of death. So how do you answer to that?
Yes and no. It's a little bit more complicated than that. First of all, the defense did not argue stand your ground in the courtroom. Everybody thought it was going to be a stand your ground case. It wasn't. But the stand your ground law, which is a standard self-defense law in Florida, and by the way, very similar in California,
right,
is you don't just get to shoot to kill somebody because you're in a fight or because you're angry, upset, right? Or even if you've been punched in the face, you don't get to shoot to kill. You
right.
only get to shoot to kill if you are in reasonable fear of imminent great bodily injury or death, meaning if you think you're about to be killed yourself, right? So especially if you're the instigator of the fight, which I think it's pretty clear to everybody that George Zimmerman was, because
right.
on the police recording, he looks out at Trayvon Martin and he says, used a lot of foul language in reference to this kid who he's never met before. And then he gets out of the car against police instructions and follows him. So I don't believe, and the prosecution in closing argument should have broken this down, reasonable fear, imminent, great bodily injury or death. Has the defense established those elements? And they clearly did not, but the prosecution let him get away with it.
And that really begs the question about looking at facts in each individual case, because you did mention those two other examples, of course, Ferguson most recently, and more recently, the Long Island, the Staten Island case of Eric Garner. And we're talking about Eric Garner, who had been arrested approximately 30 times since 1980, and that's the chokehold case. For those of you who don't know, when the policeman, his name was Daniel Pantaleo, put Garner in either a chokehold or some kind of a wrestling move, and Mr. Garner unfortunately passed away, and he was, of course, African American. Now, with the other case where you referenced, the Ferguson case, we have the shooting of Michael Brown. A lot of people believe that Michael Brown was threatening Officer Darren Wilson, and Darren Wilson had no other choice. So can you differentiate in these situations? Because to me it sounds, and I agree with you on Trayvon Martin, the book is a fascinating read, Suspicion Nation, and you really lay out the details of why, under those facts, it's a ridiculous decision not to indict and convict Zimmerman. But what about the other cases?
So let's talk about Ferguson. I think the one thing we should all be able to agree on is that if a police officer shoots and kills an unarmed person, they should have to answer some tough questions about it. They should have to reenact it. They should process the evidence properly. And none of those things happened. And so ultimately, we may never get to the truth about what happened in Ferguson. I am disturbed that this young man, unarmed, was shot and killed, and the majority of eyewitnesses who testified in the grand jury, and I've read the testimony, say that Mike Brown was shot with his hands in the air in the universal symbol for surrender. It doesn't matter much. It shouldn't matter much legally what happened 3 minutes before, 10 minutes before, half an hour before. What happens is, what's essential is at the moment the fatal shots were fired into his head, was the police officer, again, in reasonable fear of imminent great bodily injury or death? Or was he shooting an unarmed kid who
right.
had his hands up? Okay. We know that Darren Wilson in the grand jury was not asked any difficult questions. I've written extensively about this. I tweeted about it. Everybody can look at my tweets on just under Lisa Bloom on Twitter. He wasn't asked, for example, did you shoot him when his hands were up? He
right.
wasn't asked to reconcile his story that Mike Brown had assaulted him, had punched him hard twice in the oh. face with his extremely minimal
wow.
physical injuries. He had only a slight bit of pinkness on the right side of his face, and it would have been hard where the two men were positioned
for
Mike Brown to have hit him there.
We got to take a quick break for the news, so I want to come back to this amazing point. And by the way, you got to get to her Twitter feed, Lisa Bloom, @LisaBloom. She is prolific. We have a few seconds left before the break. We are going to be back with Lisa Bloom after this.
Pope Francis is in the Philippines to honor the victims of Super Typhoon Haiyan, but correspondent Andy Rose reports another storm forced a change in the pontiff's plans.
Another typhoon has derailed his trip. Typhoon Mekhala hit land Saturday afternoon northeast of Tacloban, where the Pope was conducting an outdoor mass for hundreds of thousands of people. The mass was cut short due to sustained 80-mile-per-hour winds. The Pope apologized to clergy and Typhoon Haiyan survivors at a local cathedral after announcing his entire visit would also be shortened.
Police in Florida say a man wounded his wife in a shooting at a mall that left him and another man dead. Melbourne police say Jose Garcia Rodriguez of Palm Bay died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound at the Melbourne Square Mall. His wife is hospitalized in good condition. Black ice is getting the blame for a multi-car crash that shut down a stretch of Interstate 84 in eastern Oregon. State police say four people were hurt. I'm Molly Payne.
Hi, I'm Joan London. And if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names. Mm-hmm. They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
Any person who makes your cause to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And we are back. I am Alan Gervey, and I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are honored to have with us Lisa Bloom, and she's just doing an incredible job of getting people to think. This is what Lisa Bloom does. She makes people think, and she's Whet Your Appetite with Suspicion Nation, which has just come out in paperback. Is that right, Lisa?
That's right. Brand new in paperback.
And that's the inside story of the Trayvon Martin injustice and why we continue to repeat it. So if anyone wants to read it, it's a great read. They can get it on Amazon, can't they?
Yes, and in bookstores and, you know, indie bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere you buy books.
And this is an issue that is not dying. Yes, three African-American men that we've talked about have died, but this issue hasn't. So when you read it, it is very, very topical. Now, Lisa, I want to just turn our attention to another book of yours because I'm fascinated by it. I know Carrie is. Mm. And it's Think. And again, I would suggest that not only women, girls, men too, read it because it really is something. And you really come out pretty adamantly about women who may not be focusing on what is really what is necessary in life for them. I mean, the quote that I love is that this is from you. I know we have a problem, one that I don't hear anyone else talking about. The problem is not just about that 25% of young women who would rather be hot than smart. Rather, it's about a culture that actually makes the rational choice rewarding girls for looks over brains. Carrie, what do you have to say about that?
I'm just so... This society, and it's not just women, is so obsessed with the celebrity media. I don't get it. I got rid of my television about 6 years ago, and I buy programs that I want to see. But I can't watch the reality stuff. I can't do it. It makes me angry. So when your book came out, and here's another quote. It says, while American women excel in education at every level, they likewise obsessively focus on celebrity media. And it's so true. Why do you think that is?
Well, thank you for your kind comments about my book. You know, as I said in the book, 25% of young American women would rather win America's Next Top Model than the Nobel Peace Prize. And that was really my starting point for the book. I thought, how is this possible? How is it possible that we're doing so well in education? I mean, we're just killing it. Girls are outperforming boys in high school, in college, in law school, graduating in greater numbers with better grades. And yet there's this obsession with celebrity media and tabloids, and I think it's really harming us, and I talk in the book about how it is. As to why, look, I mean, it's shiny, it's silly. A lot of people say to me, oh, I don't really take it seriously. But ultimately it is damaging when you look at college women, for example, and so many of them try to model themselves on reality show stars who are not using their brains. I think reality TV, with some exceptions, but reality TV generally is a very negative force in our culture. It's negative for women. It's negative for people of color. It generates all the worst stereotypes. You know, these Real Housewives shows, for example. You know, I don't know any women who just sit around all day and do nothing and complain and get plastic surgery and plan parties. I mean, I guess they exist. But these are not role models for women.
Right.
They're not celebrated for their accomplishments and their achievements. We have this massive beauty industry telling us that we should be, I don't know, flossing our elbows and paying attention to body parts I didn't even know needed particular attention.
That's funny, Lisa. You know, I'm just reading a comment about the book, and the comment is from Wifey25Years. Wifey25Years says, Lisa was right. I could name more Kardashians, all of them, before I could name a correct level of government. I knew nothing of any world events, but I definitely knew about Brangelina and Spidey. I don't even know who that. I don't even know what that is.
Spidey is Heidi.
Who is that?
Yeah.
So he's a reality show, right? And I went around in researching the book. I went to colleges and I asked them questions like, "How many Kardashians can you name?" And then tell me one issue before your city council. Tell me one issue in Congress. Talk to me about climate change. And you know, it was just crickets. People couldn't answer the most basic questions. And the good news is that people are not accepting of this. People want to change. You know, nobody said to me, I want to know more about reality show stars. They said, tell me what I can do. And so that's the second half of the book, is how we as women in particular can live lives of more meaning and more substance. So I think we all crave that. And the good news is it's very easy to do.
It is easy to do. But I think as little girls, and a lot of times when you have moms that are obsessed with reality and obsessed with America's Next Top Model and the magazines and everything, it's really important that their little girls look beautiful and that they're pretty and they're princesses. And it's like, here's your attention when you look good, when you look good. Instead of putting the attention on their intelligence. Or my father, the most important thing to my dad was get your education first, and then everything else can come later. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Get your education. Here's another question I have for you. Because I you know, my father being Casey Kasem, and I you know, I'm in radio. So sometimes I feel like there, and this was before, I felt like there was something to prove. I had to, you know, I'm following in his footsteps. I had to be at a certain level. I had to be good enough. Do you ever feel that with your mom, like there's a pressure to be good enough?
Well, that's very interesting. Well, first of all, let me address the point about talking to little girls about what they look like. And I wrote an article online called How to Talk to Little Girls a couple of years ago that went viral and was one of the most shared pieces online in the world. And anybody can still look that up. It's on Huffington Post, How to Talk to Little Girls. And I advocate that we stop talking to little girls about what they look like. Yes, they're adorable. Yes, everything they do, their little toenails and their hairdos and their little dresses, they're very cute. But I refuse to go there. And so when I meet little girls, I get down at their level, eye to eye, and I talk to them about what books have you read? you know, what are you interested in when they get a little older? You know, what's going on in your world? What bothers you? What solutions can you help think of? What would you like to do with your life?
Right.
Talk about achievements and accomplishments and substance and avoid, because so many of us, we have good intentions, but when we talk to them about what they look like, that's often the beginning and the end of the conversation.
Yes.
And so they get the message that that's all we really care about, and that's very damaging.
So, Lisa, how have things changed since Think Straight Talk for Women to stay
to stay smart in a dumbed-down world.
I'm a guy. I can't stay smart. But stay smart in a dumbed-down world. How have things changed since it came out?
Well, and that's been out in paperback now for a couple of years as well. It was a New York Times bestseller just by word of mouth. We had no advertising budget. It was a little indie publisher. I was so thrilled with the reaction I got. And by the way, a lot of dads like the book. I thought dads generally want their daughters to be smart. It doesn't surprise me.
Absolutely.
About your dad.
I have a little daughter, and I want her to be smart. I just wish your book titles were shorter so I could get through them quicker.
You could just call it Think.
Thank you.
And this Suspicion Nation. That's just the subtitle, the part after that.
Okay.
But listen, I also don't want to ignore your question about, you know, being the child or the famous person and following in their footsteps. You know, my mother was always very supportive of me and whatever I wanted to do. She encouraged me to go to law school. And, you know, she encouraged me in everything. We do a little bit different things. I've had careers in the media. I had my own show on Core TV for 8 years. And now I have my own law firm. I do a wide variety of civil and family law cases. She does a more specific focus in her law firm on employment discrimination. So, you know, we do our own things. We're a little bit different, but we're a lot alike. And, you know, my mom and I are very, very close. When she's proud of me, boy, there's nothing better than that.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
That's very true.
And
so
we know she is proud of you.
Yeah, and my dad, whenever he would hear a show and say, wow, that was a really good show, or compliment me,
right.
That meant
yes.
everything
huge.
To me. And it, for me,
your
it
dad was,
a
lifelong vegetarian, wasn't he?
Vegan, yes, he was a vegan.
And I'm vegan also.
I was vegan for 24 years. And
wow.
24 years. I'm now a strict vegetarian. I added eggs because I'm allergic to soy and wheat and everything else that comes along with being
uh-huh.
a vegetarian. But I stayed vegetarian. And my
well,
sister's
God
a vegetarian,
bless.
Like the whole family, pretty much because of my father. But we really looked up to him. And like you, I'm not playing records. I'm not doing a countdown. I'm doing talk radio. So it is different, but we're still in the same field. So yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so we just want to finish up with Think because it is a wonderful book. And there is another book, of course, Swagger, 10 Urgent Rules for Raising Boys in an Era of Failing Schools, Mass Joblessness, and Culture. And what culture? Thug.
Culture.
I wanted to hear that thug word. It's a great, great word,
so,
thug culture.
Yeah, and that was my second book. After I wrote Think about girls and what girls can do to push back against this culture, people started asking me about boys, and I started researching it, and I was really shocked at what I found and how difficult it is to be a boy growing up in America today with all of the negative images, with the challenges in education. And so I wrote Swagger. Again, I challenged myself to do the same thing, to not only talk about the problems in the first half so the parents could wake up as to what's really going on in our culture for boys right now, but also to offer solutions that are all either free or very low cost to what parents can do right now to raise up strong sons. Because I have a son and a daughter, and I want the best for both of them, as any parent would.
And you know, Lisa, I have a son and a daughter, too, and as you know, they're very different, and their needs are different, and their values are different, and each individual is different. So I appreciate you having, you know, the book directed to women, girls, and the book directed to men, boys, because you can learn a lot from both of them.
Yeah, I guess the number one most important thing with boys is literacy and making sure that they are reading, especially reading well by about the third grade. Boys tend to fall behind in literacy, and when they do, they fall behind in all their classes, and they can't keep up. A lot of times they cover it up. They don't want people to know. They don't want to ask for help. And so I talk in the book about strategies parents can use to make sure that they're doing well with literacy.
Lisa, we only have a couple minutes left, and we could be here all day. We could spend 3 hours. We do have the King's game coming up. So, unfortunately, unless you're an expert on everything else, you're probably an expert on the Kings.
No. Sorry.
But we're running into pregame on the Kings. I want to talk to you quickly about a client that you announced on December 16th on your firm website, Janice Dickinson. And again, let's make it clear, she's a client. She isn't necessarily suing Bill Cosby, but there is the allegation that she is one of the women who have been abused by Bill Cosby. Tell us about what's going on with Janice Dickinson to the extent that you can.
Well, I'm very proud to represent Janice Dickinson. What's different in her case from the 30 other women who have come out and said that Bill Cosby drugged and raped them is that Bill Cosby's lawyer publicly called her a liar. And he called her a liar over and over again in a couple of press statements. We consider that to be defamation.
Right.
And since that was done just in the last couple of months, she has a fresh claim for defamation. In other words, the statute of limitations does not bar her claim for defamation in the way that it bars so many of the claimant's allegations of sexual assault. So we are currently in the investigation phase and looking very carefully at the facts and the law. But I think it's just outrageous.
Who would that lawsuit be against?
It would be against Mr. Cosby, and it would be against potentially others who were involved in putting that out.
What about the attorney?
That's possible.
Okay.
That's possible. I think, you know, if even half of the women talking about Bill Cosby are telling the truth, he is a serial sexual predator.
And that's a very
re-victimize women.
Lisa, very interesting point.
By calling them liars. It's just further insult to injury.
Okay, so we have to ask you about Chloe Goins then, because you just said even if half of them are telling the truth. Now, what has recently come out, and Chloe Goins mm-hmm. is the one who has accused him of wrongdoing at the, I think it was the Playboy Mansion, the Midnight Summer Dream Party.
Mm-hmm.
And he has shown through his attorney that he was in a different place at the time. He was in New York or something. So how does that impact Janice Dickinson and the other accusers?
First of all, we don't know any of these facts yet. The fact that his attorney says something does not conclusively establish it as fact. All right, that's number one. Number two is, under California law, for law geeks, it's Evidence Code Section 1101B, you can bring in prior incidents of sexual assault in a rape case if the allegations are strikingly similar, meaning that if the police investigate and prosecute Mr. Cosby for this charge, they can bring in the other women who have claims that Mr. Cosby drugged and raped them in a very similar way. That's bad news for Bill Cosby, and that's a California law that was just passed in the 1990s in order to level the playing field sexual assault case.
Very interesting. Really quickly, before we have to stop, I want to talk quickly about Stephen Collins. And by the way, good luck with Janice Dickinson. We're all going to see what happens with Bill Cosby. Hopefully he won't just spend the rest of his life telling jokes in Canada.
No, and Janice was so great. She came out to a birthday vigil I held for my dad when we were being kept from him, and she was so fantastic supportive. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Tell us quickly about Stephen Collins, because you've commented on it in the media, this ugly divorce. Tell us about the tape. Do you believe it's relevant? Is it admissible? Will it ever see the light of day? I mean, obviously, because it got out into the media, Stephen Collins' career is over, but how will that impact him legally in the
divorce?
You
know, it's a good question, and you know, I don't recall the facts specifically. I know that there was a recording made allegedly of him when he was in therapy talking about sexually abusing some young girls. Mm. You know, I don't know if we've ever gotten to the bottom of what the circumstances were of that recording, if it was done surreptitiously in therapy. That certainly doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound like something that would be admissible. On the other hand, if it's already out there in the media, you know, you can't unring the bell. It's out there. Everybody knows about it. And, you know, he's confessed to some of this.
You know, Lisa, you made an important point in the USA Today in an article. You were quoted as saying that exactly what you just said, but you added that it may add some settlement value where people don't want to proceed. And that's what people don't understand about law. I have a case right now, and of course I do workers' compensation law. I have a client of mine who is sexually assaulted by an employee. She has a dress, and it has ejaculate on the dress. She has that dress. Now,
like Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like Monica Lewinsky. But I'll tell you something, the same thing. This defendant, which is a huge employer, does not want to go to trial on this case. In workers' compensation, she would probably prevail without the ejaculate. But I'll tell you, if we go to trial, a lot of things are going to come out that the employer does not want out. And I think it's the same with Stephen Collins. It does facilitate settlements. And I think you know that because mm-hmm. you've been involved in some of these high-profile cases.
Yeah, Absolutely. And, you know, look, 95% of cases settle before going to trial. So
Lisa,
everything that happens in that stage is important.
We are out of time, unfortunately. It has been just an incredible honor to have you on because you are so well-spoken. You know about everything except the Kings, and it's really incredible. We would love to have you here. And when I say here, I mean face-to-face because you have some different opinions on gun laws than Carrie does, and I would love to see you two face off on gun laws.
All right, well, let's do it.
That would be great.
Thank you so much. I would love to hear from everybody on Twitter, at Lisa Bloom, or on Facebook, on my Lisa Bloom author page.
And, and like I said, it's prolific. Her Twitter, her tweets are prolific. The Bloom Firm in Woodland Hills. Check it out on the Internet. And thanks again, and we'll be right back after this message. You're listening to Gervie's Law.
The KABC Legend Series at the Savant Theater continues with Sticks. Chicago basement to the Savant Theater, Friday, January 23rd. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 888-645-5006. For details and to see the rest of the KABC Legends Series lineup, go to KABC.com, keyword Legends.
It's Peter Tobin for Glendale Infinity, where right now you can get a brand new Infinity for just $299 a month with no money down. It's loaded with technology. They throw in free brake pads for life. They'll pick up the car and drop it off for service and give you a free loaner. And here's some of the guys to tell you what else you get.
That $299 car is an amazing car.
For $299 with no money down, you get 6 years, 70,000-mile warranty. You get tech like blind spot warning, intelligent cruise, Bluetooth that'll read you your text. You get power seats. You get rear backup camera. They'll throw in free brake pads for life and
free concierge service. You get that for 4 years, complimentary.
That's what Infinity is all about. They want you to love the car. If you're really looking at buying a car and you don't come in here and see what we have and how we treat you, you're missing out on something extraordinary. It's an amazing car and it's an amazing place.
And right now you can get that amazing car for just $299 a month with no money down. Call 1-800-MY-INFINITY or go to GlendaleInfinity.com or go see these guys in person and save. Concierge service, free brake pads for life and more. $299, zero down.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie, and I'm here with Carrie Case. I'm at Talk Radio 790 KABC, a little disco music in the background. So this has been some really exciting talk radio. That last 45 minutes with Lisa Bloom was just talk radio at its best. And now we're going to talk about talk radio at its best because we are honored to have with us independent Hollywood producer Ken Kokin. And Ken Kokin, you will know him from The Usual Suspects. Of course, they won an Academy Award for that wonderful movie. And he has produced a number of movies, The Way of the Gun and some of the others that you will see that have done really well. But today we're going to talk about talk radio. Ken Kokin is one of the experts on talk radio. He listened to Lisa Bloom. And I'm going to ask him right from the outset, how did that rate the last 45 minutes in talk radio, Ken?
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime.
And it's nice to see Carrie here with her face for television and you with your voice for radio and me
Thank
with
you.
My
You're
voice
so,
for print.
Yeah, you know, voice Ken, for print. Ken was responsible for getting me this job here, yeah. And so I want to thank you on air, and I still owe you a dinner.
You're more than welcome, and I will accept.
And I'm sure it will be a vegan dinner because I know Ken's...
That's right.
You know, they're both vegetarians and almost vegans.
Yes.
That's right.
Vegan.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I want to hear how...
I thought that last segment was great. You were great. She was great. It was an incredible hour of talk
radio. We didn't invite you here to say everyone was great. Let's get down and dirty.
Well,
did she say anything that was inconsistent that someone listening to the radio would say, well, wait a second here. She's really a powerful attorney,
yeah.
But... does this all make sense?
No. There was a complete disconnect between Suspicious Nation, which was a story all about Trayvon Martin, which was all about celebrity and turning these people into a black-white issue, when it was really, these crimes should be about the facts.
Right.
And she did bring up the fact, but nobody would care about the fact if it wasn't an issue throughout our nation about racial differences.
Okay.
And instead of bringing us together. And then she wrote these other books, which were about, celebrity influence and how that's affecting people. So it was a little bit of a disconnect to me.
But isn't that what makes the media what it is? Because if it's not in the media, we don't know about it. And I don't think she's advocating that you sit at home with no TV, no internet, no radio, and you just read the classics, read Shakespeare all day long.
No, but she's criticizing the media on one side, and then on the other side, she's actually adding to it.
Carrie, you've been in the media quite a bit this year. What do you take of what Ken is saying?
You know, I hear where she's coming from. I hear both sides of it.
Yeah.
And you're going to have somebody, especially who's a journalist and is going to have an opinion, have her side. But there's other people with different sides of the story. So I think it's good to hear both sides.
But again, I'm totally behind Lisa, and I'm not trying to just suck up to her. But I really believe it because I'm a lawyer who's out in the media, and I believe that I want my voice to be heard. That's what she's doing. That's what Gloria Allred's doing. That's what Manny Medrano's doing. That's what Royal Oaks is doing. All of these people who are out in the media have a voice. And attorneys who are representing clients, they have a voice, and we can't get around it. I think the point of Think for Women is simply to make sure that they understand that the Kardashians may not be the most important thing in the world as they move forward versus world events and things that will be more intellectually exciting.
But I think there's a lot of bad in the world, and there has been. I mean, it's just gone on forever. There's war or there's, we have hunger issues, we've got political issues. There's so much bad that when you focus on it, sometimes it's hard to get through life because life in itself can be hard for people. So sometimes I think you turn on the TV and you don't want to see anything bad anymore, so you veg out on something that's absolutely idiotic.
But you know what Ken does is he listens to talk radio. How much talk radio do you listen to a week?
Way too much.
Way too much.
It's like an addiction.
It is an addiction, isn't it? So tell
addiction.
Us, Ken, what makes a good talk radio program? Because you have been quoted on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and that's Gervie's Law Facebook page, Gervie's Law. Go to Facebook and like us at Gervie's Law. And Ken has said that last week was, one of the greatest hours of talk radio that he'd heard.
It was the first time I ever heard a radio talk show host say, and these words did come out of your mouth, I held Michael Jackson's penis.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was reading an article because I did say it, but
you said it on air.
I did.
Over and over again, Ken.
Yes,
over and over again.
It was the most I've ever heard anybody say that about Michael Jackson's junk. And then today you're talking about ejaculate, and last week you were talking about ejaculate.
It's nonstop, Ken.
So is that good talk radio or is that just fluff? I'm a lawyer here. I'm an officer of the court. Are you telling me that I have some questions here about my state bar licensing?
I just think there's been a little bit too much talk about ejaculate.
Okay, what would you like to hear?
I mean, I would have liked to hear a little bit more about Second Amendment. I want to talk about James Taylor going to France, Why did they send James Taylor to France?
Why didn't Obama go to France?
And where is where's Joe Biden?
And where's the justice for the show Suits? Because they should have Emmys, or not Emmys, and Golden Globes, and they should have all the awards in the world. But
exactly.
What? Life is not fair.
And Selma, they're all upset about Selma getting snubbed. Like, Al Sharpton is out there.
That's true, and Al Sharpton's waiting for the next Trayvon Martin.
Oh, no, I said his name. He's going to come, and he's going to want me to make a donation. What?
What was that? Ken, how do you listen to so much talk radio? Because you have so many opinions. Don't you just want to scream and yell at the radio and call in and make comments?
I did. I called in to Leo Terrell once, and he hung up on me.
What did he say to Leo? Because he's often on KABC
He said, it's the Second Amendment issue. And he said, should we be able to have battleships as citizens? And I wanted to make an argument for that.
I think it's a good argument. And by the way, can you repeat the 14th Amendment discussion that I had with Lisa today?
Can I repeat it?
Yes.
Oh, about the gay marriage?
Yes.
I can't repeat it verbatim, but I do feel like, I really feel like all singles are second-class citizens compared to all married people, and married people are getting benefits that singles don't, and that's completely unfair.
So you are, as a single person, you feel that you are being discriminated against?
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We did talk about 14th Amendment. We want to thank Lisa Bloom for being on the show today. We want to thank Ken Kokin for his astute commentary on talk radio. And, of course, I want to thank Carrie Kasem. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie, and we'll see you next week.